Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Men in Tights podcast, episode 165. And of course, this one is recapping WrestleMania 40, the most epic and cinematic WrestleMania I have ever experienced. And let's not waste any time, let's get right to it. It was an action-packed weekend, and every match was at least a very good match, in my subjective opinion. There was only one match I would say was underwhelming, and I'll get to it, but kicked it off Saturday with the Women's World Championship, Rhea defending against Becky Lynch in a very, very, very good wrestling match, one that we knew they could deliver to us for WrestleMania. Opened it up with Rhea Ripley coming out with an awesome, epic performance from Motionless in White, performing her theme song live, and Becky had her awesome entrance with excerpts from her biography that I hope I can get to read very, very soon. I will try to get my hands on it as soon as I possibly can, but it's a very good match, back and forth, action was solid. During the live broadcast, my internet did kind of go out for a few minutes, so I did miss about 5 minutes of the match, but I rewatched it later on, and it was as great as I knew it would be, with Rhea coming out on top, which I believe I predicted she would win. I mean, I want to say most of the predictions that I had for this weekend, I got correct, and the ones that I didn't get correct, I'm happy that I got them wrong, but yeah, Rhea retaining against Becky Lynch in an epic encounter, and then we followed this up with the six-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, where both championships, sets of championships, were above the ring. We had the Raw Tag Team titles on one side, SmackDown Tag Team titles on the other side, and that the match would continue until both sets of belts have been retrieved, and I'm glad that they did that. We finally have the belts split between the brands once again. Thank God. My God. But this was an exciting matchup, as we knew it would be. Tag team ladder matches are always an exciting one, but this one was on a whole other level, with six tag teams rather than the traditional three or four that we usually would get from these kind of matches. Six teams, 12 superstars. We had the defending champions, Judgment Day, with Damian Priest and Finn Balor, taking on A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory's Grayson Waller, Awesome Truth, which was Miz and R-Truth, DIY, Johnny Gargano, and Tommaso Ciampa, The New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, and New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. And I knew this was going to be one of those kind of matches, and I think I even predicted that Grayson Waller was going to have one of the big spots during the match, but I was not predict that we were going to get another big spot from JD McDonagh interfering in the match to try to help out his Judgment Day brothers, and Grayson Waller, and sorry, my mind's a little fumbled and my throat's a little dry. That's better. Now, Theory and Grayson Waller, during the match, they retrieved the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, which I'm glad it was them. Although it was a fun moment in the match where Awesome Truth and DIY were almost going to have a face-off, but R-Truth stopped them and said, no, you guys go up there and get those belts. We'll go up this way and get these belts. And fans were all in for that, which was, I would have loved that to be the ending. Obviously, it was not going to be. We did have another fun moment where Truth was on the apron waiting for Miz to tag him in to the match, which we knew that was going to happen. It was entertaining as hell. But yeah, Grayson Waller and Theory retrieving the SmackDown Tag Team titles, but the match continued, of course, because now we needed the Raw Tag Team titles to be retrieved. But Bate and Dunn, they got Waller off the ladder. They had the long ladder set up on the outside of the ring. And with Grayson Waller still holding his SmackDown title on his shoulder, with power bombs right through the ladder, and it was awesome. And then we got the big moment towards the end of the match, where it was Truth and Priest going back and forth, and JD McDonagh coming in to try to help his brothers, and he got tossed out of the ring with two tables set up on the outside in a very awesome spot. But then the moment we all wanted, we all hoped would happen, and finally did, R-Truth climbing the ladder, retrieving the Raw Tag Team Championships, his first win at WrestleMania, and winning the Tag Team Championships with The Miz. Awesome, fans loved it. It was the feel-good moment of the night, or one of them at least. And we followed this up with the tag team match of Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. This was another fun and exciting match that, as my brother described it, this is Lucha Libre on the grandest stage of WrestleMania. And it was definitely that 100%. Everybody got their shit in. And we had a... can't remember what the two guys from the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't remember what their names were. But they came in towards the end of the match to help give the assist to Rey and Andrade. And of course, Rey and Andrade coming out on top, winning this match, as we knew they would. I mean, it's, you know, the last minute replacement for Dragon Lee, which I'm not 100% sure on what the story is and why that happened, but I'm okay with it because I love Andrade. He's phenomenal. I'm glad he's back in WWE, gonna be utilized better than he was in AEW. Not to say that he wasn't used very well in AEW, but he's gonna be used much, much better under the Triple H era of WWE, as it is now being referred to, which Triple H kicked off WrestleMania Saturday, welcoming everybody to WrestleMania in the, you know, most awesome Triple H way. And we followed this one up with Jimmy versus Jay, one of the most anticipated matches of the entire weekend, and this is the one that I would say was a little underwhelming, but it was still a very good match, because we were all hoping it was going to be like an epic encounter, much like Bret and Owen from WrestleMania 10. It was still a very good match, but it was more about the story than the wrestling part of the match, which it did what it needed to do. Told a good story. Every match on this show for the entire weekend told the stories they were setting out to tell, and I love that. I applaud it. I respect it very much. So, but this one is probably the only match I will say could have been better, and I guess, subjectively speaking, should have been better, but I still enjoyed it very much. Jey Uso coming out on top, and then we followed this up with the six-woman tag team match of Damage Control taking on Jade Cargill, making her WrestleMania debut, and Bianca Belair and Naomi. And this one, as I knew it would be, was a great match that showcased all six women in the best ways possible, with, of course, Jade Cargill making her WrestleMania debut. There was no way she was going to lose this one, and she looked dominant and strong. All six women look dominant and strong, but especially Bianca, Jade, and Naomi. And of course, Jade, Bianca, Naomi coming out on top, with Jade getting the win. And then we followed this up with the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther defending against Sami Zayn, and an awesome match, one of the best matches I've ever seen at WrestleMania, one of the best Intercontinental title matches specifically at WrestleMania, with Gunther just dominating Sammy throughout, Sammy being the underdog from the underground, as he once was referred to, and coming out on top, and in the most epic way possible, with a devastating brainbuster from the top rope onto the top turnbuckle, and then two Helluva kicks, getting the 1-2-3 and ending the 666 day reign of Gunther as Intercontinental Champion. Sami Zayn winning back the Intercontinental Championship after, it's how many years it's been? Been 4 years since he's been Intercontinental Champion, and it was awesome, and he got the epic WrestleMania moment, just like he did last year. His wife sitting front row, got to see him and his son backstage. His son was so adorable, and Chad Gable giving him the pep talk, KO giving him the bigger pep talk, just as he got to Gorilla before he went out there. And it was awesome. This was probably the first match that I felt a little bit emotional with the end result of it. This was the first prediction I got wrong that I was very happy that I got wrong. And because up until this point on WrestleMania Saturday, all my predictions were correct. And we came to the main event of the evening, the 45-minute epic encounter of the Bloodline versus Cody and Seth Rollins, and it was epic in the most possible, in the biggest and best ways possible. And, you know, Rock coming out with his epic final boss entrance. And this was, I'm talking with my brother about it, and he gave a great analogy of how this was like, the whole weekend especially was like a combination of WrestleMania 10, 17, 19, and 20, like, all rolled into one, like, epic weekend. And, I mean, I definitely agree with that, and especially because those are all, a lot of those are my favorite WrestleManias of all time. But just the back and forth, Rock showing that he's still got it, he has not lost a step, even after not having a full wrestling match since WrestleMania 29, but he showed that he is the great one, he is the people's champion, he is the final boss, although, you know, we'll see when we get to night two, you know, who the real final boss was, but anyways, of course, Rock and Roman coming out on top, making it official that we would have Bloodline rules for WrestleMania Sunday. And WrestleMania Sunday, my subjective opinion, because since we've done the two nights of WrestleManias from 36 up to now, 36, 37, 38, 39, Saturday, my subjective opinion, and the opinions of many other fans, Saturdays were usually the better of the two nights. But however, this year, again, my subjective opinion, WrestleMania Sunday was the better night of the two nights for WrestleMania this year. And I think this is one of my brothers said that if it was just WrestleMania Sunday, if it was just this card for WrestleMania Sunday, if that was WrestleMania by itself, then it's a great, the most amazing WrestleMania ever. But for the whole weekend, still one of the most epic, amazing, cinematic WrestleManias of all time. And WrestleMania Night 2, kicking off first with an appearance from Stephanie McMahon, welcoming everybody to WrestleMania, and coming out with a brand new version of her theme song, which I love, and I can't wait for them to release it on Apple Music. I don't think that they have so far. Let me check my phone right now. I know they released the new theme song for the Creed Brothers. Let me see if they've released anything else. Let me look. Don't think they have. I don't see it yet, but that's okay, because I know they still have plenty of other new theme songs to premiere and release. Here we go, Death Rebel. Let me see. Nope. I mean, there's a few new ones on here, Sean Spears and so on. But here we go. So the Head of the Table WrestleMania version, which that one is a pretty epic version, I would say. His entrance was probably the most epic WrestleMania entrance I've ever seen. But anyways, we kicked it off with Stephanie McMahon welcoming everyone to WrestleMania, and then we had the opening match, Seth Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre, and Drew having an epic WrestleMania entrance, and CM Punk on commentary for this one, and Rollins having one of the best WrestleMania entrances I've ever seen with the Mummers string, whatever was the name of it, I don't know. That was a fun and epic entrance, and with a Michael Cole saying, you know, they don't remind him of that guy from NXT, which of course was Adam Rose. This one was shorter than their Crown Jewel match, but it was, in my opinion, a better one, probably because of the WrestleMania atmosphere on top of it. But Drew coming out on top after a near 11-minute fight, finally having his world championship win in front of a crowd. And everybody loved it. We were all excited and happy. He was, you know, having a moment with his wife. During the match, he actually tweeted out, at bored at work, which is just hilarious in my opinion. And then he went to his wife, held the belt out for her. And then in a moment of just arrogance and pettiness and cockiness, decided to get in the face of CM Punk at commentary. And Punk just had enough of it. Drew talking all kinds of trash to him, and Punk knocks him down, so beating him with his arm brace. And then we got the cash in of Damian Priest, new World Heavyweight Champion, two new World Heavyweight Championships, decided in within the span of 15 minutes. And I am okay with this. I was thinking they were going to save it for Monday night, but we got it instead immediately following Drew winning the world championship, and this just adds a fuel to the fire of the Punk McIntyre feud, that when that match finally happens, it's going to be epic and amazing. And Priest coming out with the World Heavyweight Championship after losing the tag team titles the night before. And now Judgment Day has both world championships for the men and for the women, which if I really recall, of all the factions in WWE history that have featured men and women together, I don't think there's ever been one that has men and a man and a woman like together like that since the McMahon-Helmsley faction, McMahon-Helmsley regime in 2000 with Triple H and Stephanie being the champions. And that is pretty damn cool in my opinion. And I'm looking forward to what's going to go on forward with Damian Priest as champion. And we do have Jey Uso. He did win the number one contendership on Raw a little while ago, which is pretty damn cool for that too. And now we move on to the Philadelphia Street Fight that had Snoop Dogg as guest commentator for some reason. But he was hilarious and entertaining and loved every second of it. He was, I think I posted it on Threads, and but Snoop Dogg on commentary is the best thing to happen in WrestleMania so far. But we also had surprise Bubba Ray Dudley as a special guest referee for this match. And this one was a very fun match. I mean, it wasn't as crazy violent and bloody as we thought it would have been, but it was still a great match, in my opinion, great match. And we even got to see Scarlett and B-Fab get into it with a Russian leg sweep from the apron through the table. And I also really loved Samantha Irvin's introduction of B-Fab, where she, you know, put that little bit of sass to it like she does for Chelsea Green's entrance. But this one was cool, and Bubba getting in face-to-face with Karrion Kross, which is funny because I think they might have had some interactions at TNA when Kross was there for a little bit. Because I think Kross made a brief return over there before coming back to WWE in 2022. But anyways, they got into it, and Bubba pulling out his Dudley glasses from his pocket. And of course, the Pride, Bobby Lashley and Dawkins and Ford coming out on top in this one, as we knew they would. Which, I mean, from the story, it made so much sense because the Final Testament was getting the better of them at every chance and every corner and every turn for the last few months. So Lashley and Street Profits coming out on top was a no-brainer for the story, but it was still an awesome moment. And then we followed this up with LA Knight versus AJ Styles. AJ Styles debuting a new entrance theme as well. And this was a fun match. And I even pointed out because Rudy, I don't know what his name is in WWE, but referee Rudy Charles, you know, best known for, as the senior referee in TNA. And LA Knight was champion in TNA when he was Eli Drake. And AJ Styles, of course, being the face of TNA for a decade, that this match was TNA at WrestleMania. And I don't know if anyone else noticed that, but I did and commented it, and I just thought that was pretty cool that we got to see, you know, two TNA world champions and a TNA referee at WrestleMania. It was pretty cool, and this was a really good match as well. Probably one of the better matches that AJ Styles has had since he's made his return a few months ago. And again, just my subjective opinion. Everything that I'm saying on here is my subjective opinion, and I know people will disagree, and that's okay. You have every right to feel how you feel about whatever it is I'm saying, to disagree or agree with what I'm saying, because you are not wrong for feeling the way you feel. You know, it's just when you try to make your subjective opinions presented as objective fact, no. That's where I just freak conversation over and want none of it. But anyways, this was a very good match as well. LA Knight showing everyone why he is the megastar and coming out on top. 1-2-3 LA Knight winning his first WrestleMania match in his career, which is kind of just amazing to realize this is his first WrestleMania match. But that was a good one. And then we had the US Championship Triple Threat. Logan Paul coming out on a Prime truck with a Prime bottle cannon, and there was the Prime hydration station sitting at ringside. And then we also had Kevin Owens and Randy Orton in the match as well, with KO coming out on a golf cart and him and Orton driving down to the ring, which was a fun little moment. And we also had the Prime bottle mascot. It was iShow Speed was the one in that, and he just got destroyed by Orton, which was just probably the highlight of the entire match. Getting kicked down while still in the suit, and then getting RKO'd on the commentator's table. But of course, Logan Paul coming out on top, showing everyone why he belongs, why he is the best celebrity turned pro wrestler in history, and retaining his US Championship, which I do believe he's going to retain it all the way to SummerSlam in Cleveland, and he'll have whatever kind of epic match he's going to have there. Because again, Logan Paul, since his debut at WrestleMania 38, has not had a bad match at all. He has shown that he is just a natural at this for his athleticism and his character development as being one of the biggest chicken shit heels in the company. And I am all for it. Again, like I've said, don't care for his YouTube stuff. I've never listened to his podcast, so I don't really care about that. Don't really care much for him as a human being. But as a professional wrestler, a WWE superstar, he is just, again, he is a natural at it. I can't knock the guy. I can't hate him for being so damn good in the ring. He really is. Logan Paul retaining the championship. And then we come to the WWE Women's Championship. Io Sky defending against Bayley. Bayley debuting a new entrance theme as well with her epic Egyptian pharaoh entrance. I believe it was some kind of pharaoh entrance, but it was pretty cool. And I think I said it in my predictions last week that we were going to get like something on the level similar to the level of Bayley and Sasha from TakeOver Brooklyn, and I personally feel that is exactly what we got. And I mean, the fans were hot for Bayley from start to finish, singing for her throughout, you know, the "Hey, you want the Bayley," you know, that chant throughout the entire match pretty much. And Io just showing everyone why you should not have slept on her and her abilities, because she was just pulling up move after move and spot after spot and maneuvers and just crazy spots. My favorite one being her flipping out of the rose plant and just doing a complete flip and handstand, just like, you know, like it's nothing for her. And every counter that she developed or did was awesome, and all of it, just the sequence of moves. And Bayley just finally having one of her, this was Bayley's first singles match at WrestleMania, and she came out on top, and I loved it. And if I'm recalling correctly, every women's championship match that she's been part of at WrestleMania, you know, for the singles women's championship, she has won, because she won defending it at 33, she won defending at 36, and she's won it again this year, because the other matches she's lost were tag matches. Now, she lost at 35, she lost last year. I don't really count the women's battle royal from 34, but yeah, 30. At 33, she retained her championship. 35, she lost the tag team championships. 36, she retained her women's championship. 39, lost the tag team title, tag team championship, tag team, six woman tag team match. Sorry, mumbling my words again. But three times winning in the women's championship match at WrestleMania. And fans were all love. We loved it. I was a little emotional, a little teary eyed for that one as well, just like I was for Sammy. And it was awesome. Bayley having her epic win against Io. Then we come to the Avengers Endgame match of the weekend. Roman Reigns defending his undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship against the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes. Cody coming out with an epic entrance with the cool Cody, you know, American Nightmare logo mask cowl. Very reminiscent of Triple H at WrestleMania 30. Coming out with his golden King Skull. Brandi Rhodes coming out for the entrance as well. She got a great pop and reaction. Fans loved that. And Roman having one of the most epic entrances as well, having an actual like orchestra playing him to the ring, which is just, you know, the most epic like boss kind of thing I've ever seen for a WrestleMania entrance. And then the match itself, and this is another one that I said on Threads, that this was the most epic main event I have ever seen. Again, my personal subjective opinion, there have been many, many great WrestleMania main events. I mean, Warrior Hogan at WrestleMania 6, Bret and Shawn at 12, Rock and Austin from 15 and 17, Brock and Kurt Angle, Triple Threat at WrestleMania 20, Triple H and Batista, Triple H and Cena, Shawn and Cena, Undertaker, Edge, Shawn and Taker at 26, and so on and so are there many other great WrestleMania main events. But this one, again, this was Avengers Endgame level of excitement and epicness, because the match was really, really good. It was a great match, but when Jimmy Uso finally made his appearance during the match, like the WWE Universe in that stadium and watching all over the world, we all had the exact same reaction. And he, once Jimmy came out, Jey Uso came out, they met up on the ramp, they had their back and forth, and then Jey spearing Jimmy right off the stage onto some tables, and then Cody trying to get the upper hand, hitting Roman with the crossroads, only to get hit by Solo Sikoa with the spike once again, just like last year. And we thought, god damn it, it's gonna be the same thing as last year. But Cody kicking out of the spike, and then they hit him with the spear Samoan spike combo, but he still kicked out of that. Then we caught John Cena coming out to save the day, took out Solo Sikoa, gave him the AA to Roman, giving AA to Solo through the nods table. And then Rock, final boss Rock, comes out and gets a face-to-face with Cena, gives Cena the rock bottom, and then we get the Shield music that had people just on the edge of their seats like, holy shit, is this really happening? And yeah, and I will admit, for a very brief second, I just thought, is Moxley going to show up? Is that what's going on? But then quickly slapped back into reality, realized that's not what it was. It was Rollins coming out in his full Shield gear, but Roman taking him out with a quick spear, and then Rock with the big weightlifting belt, the Mama Rhodes belt, getting ready to whip Cody into next year. And then the true final boss showed up, the Dead Man, the Undertaker. And when that bell hit, I leapt to my feet because it was like, holy shit, is this really happening? And Undertaker chokeslamming The Rock straight to hell, and the arena, the stadium exploded. My household exploded during that moment, and lights came back out. Lights went out and they came back on. Undertaker was gone. Rock was like dead outside the ring, and then Roman, seeing the steel chair sitting on the floor, grabs it, looks at Cody, but then he turns over and sees Seth, and has PTSD flashbacks to 10 years ago when Seth turned the chair onto him and breaking up the Shield. And Roman, just his obsession with the breakdown of the Shield, he turns the chair, hits Rollins just like Rollins did to him 10 years ago, and then taking his eye off the ball for just a quick second, Cody was able to get him with the three crossroads, getting the 1, 2, 3, finishing the story, and having one of the most emotional endings to WrestleMania. I cried, like, real, legit tears of joy and happiness, and I've watched this match 3 times since this whole weekend. Watched it last night, watched it twice today, because I watched it before I went to work, watched it during my lunch break while I was at work, and I cried all 3 times, no exaggeration. And this was, again, one of the most amazing main events. I would put it in top 10 favorite WrestleMania main events for me. This entire show, I would put in my top 10 of favorite WrestleManias. Where I would rank it, I'm not 100% sure yet. But this entire WrestleMania is definitely top 10 favorite for me. This main event is top 10 favorite for me. Maybe even top 5. If this is what we can expect of the Triple H era of WWE, we are in the best of hands, and this is truly what is best for business. Triple H hitting a home run with his first WrestleMania, the first WrestleMania with no McMahon family influence whatsoever. No Vince McMahon involved at all. Stephanie McMahon, she made her appearance, but as far as I know, she's not part of the creative anymore. But no Vince McMahon touching this at all. And it was just the most amazing WrestleMania. And in every match told a great story. Every match was a good match, at the very least, good to great. And then both main events, the tag team match on Saturday, the WWE title match Sunday, both of them, two most amazing and epic matches I've ever seen. The amazing and beautiful storytelling from start to finish, from all 13 of these matches, just chef's kiss. as Michael Cole said it, damn it, I love professional wrestling. And just like fans said to Triple H earlier on Raw when they kicked off the show, thank you, Triple H, because you delivered an amazing WrestleMania. And we are in the Triple H era. And to quote Paul Heyman at the Hall of Fame, I will forever be a Paul Levesque guy. This really was one of the most amazing WrestleManias I have ever experienced. And since I've been alive and watching professional wrestling and watching WWE specifically, every WrestleMania that I've seen, I would say the first one that I can recall seeing, probably five or six, but every one that I've seen live, I don't know if I've... Because WrestleMania 20 is still my number one favorite of all time. That's for right now, that's not going to change. But I don't know if I've ever felt as much emotion as I did for this one. Especially that main event. Crying real tears streaming down my face. I was like... This WrestleMania was the most cinematic WrestleMania. This was cinema at the most. This was Cinemania. And I loved every second of it. And I'm ready to just go to bed right now and just enjoy my week. That's going to do it for this episode of the Men in Tights podcast. I'm still feeling that WrestleMania hangover, and I'm probably going to be feeling it all week. Thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. And if you're not subscribed, click it on YouTube, click it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, everywhere. You can just click in the description, the show notes on here, check the Linktree link, get all the links to where you can find the Men in Tights podcast. You can find the Men in Tights podcast store, my eBay store, my Poshmark store. If you find some good stuff that you like on there, hit it up. You know, I would like to believe that I have some good stuff on there. Maybe something that you might like. Who knows? Reach out to me on my social media, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, Snapchat, Vero. All of them are at Men in Tights Pod. And even on Facebook, Men in Tights Podcast. All the links to those will be in the description as well. Or you can reach out to me directly on my email, themenintightspodcast@gmail.com. We can discuss how you felt about WrestleMania 40. If you want to be a collaborator with me on a future podcast, feel free to reach out to me again on my social media or on my email. And you know, 'cause I do got some stuff coming up soon. Some people that I've been speaking with about appearing on their shows, them appearing on my show. And stay tuned. You'll hear all about those. And this has been the Men in Tights podcast. I am Julian. I love and appreciate every single one of you who have been with me on this crazy road with the show that I've been doing for almost 6 years now. And I am truly, genuinely appreciative of every single one of you who have been on this journey with me, have been supportive of me along the way, and have continued to support me. And in my heart, forever and ever, for all of you, thank you. And I will see all of you on the next one. Bye-bye.